I'm Zeke Thurston, 2016 World Champion Saddlebrock Rider, and you're watching the Pepper Stewart Show.
That's what he told you. He told you that. It was not me. That was him. What is going on out there in the world of people? What's going on? Pepper Stewart Show right here for you guys, talking about stuff, doing stuff. Stuff is happening right here. There's always stuff going on. There's always stuff going on, especially in the comments. Stuff happens in the comments. I don't know what's going on with that, but stuff is happening. What happened?
Love Hinaya.
How'd that happen? What are you talking about? What era? There's Tex. Look at him. Tex is here.
I'm here. A long time no see, guy.
He got married. I guess he finally got the shackles off his ankle.
Yeah, 40 days ago.
40 days ago.
Something like that.
You've been released. All right.
Maybe 35.
Uh-oh, he got released. That happened. He's still a newlywed, so he's still in that phase of new stuff.
Happiness. I'm in the honeymoon stage.
He's in the honeymoon stage. That's where you overlook a lot of things. Is that what they call it?
It's nothing to overlook.
Okay. I don't know. That's what they call it. They say in the honeymoon stage, you overlook a lot of things. A year later, you're like, what happened? But hey, maybe that's not what's going on with this guy. He may be the one that broke the mold.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of mold.
Something got broken. I know that.
Whoa, what? What did you break? What? You broke something. I don't think I want to know what you broke, but okay.
Anyway. Yeah, 35 days ago. I'm a married man now.
He's a married man. Mm-hmm. All right. We showed a photo of you married folks here a couple episodes ago.
Y'all, it's believable. I ain't lying to you.
Yeah, it's there. They saw it. People saw it. We got stuff tonight. Here's what's going on. We're going to talk to some folks about what's going on around town. We got the Fort Worth Stockyards. A lot of stuff going on at Fort Worth Stockyards this month. So we're going to talk to Billy Huckabee. He's going to tell us about that, what's going on down in Cowtown. And then after that, later on in this episode, we're going to talk to Rope Myers. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Rope Myers is. I'm sure you do because you watch this show. So I'm pretty sure you're fluent in this guy. But did you know or not know that a few years back, He was jousting. He was part of, there was a program on TV about jousting, Full Metal Jousting. The guys were out there getting it on. And he was part of that. And it was I watched that entire season. Especially when I found out Rope was on there. I was like, you know what? If he's doing it, I got to watch it because this is going to be good stuff. So I watched it. Great, great stuff. So what's going on up here in North Texas, out in Sulphur Springs, Texas, the weekend of July, I believe 28, 29, somewhere in that weekend of the 28, 29, somewhere in there, Sulphur Spring, Texas, they are having jousting. There's a medieval. We'll get into it more, you know, as we go on. We'll throw it up and show you the website and things like that, where you guys come out and watch it. But matter of fact, you know, Rope Myers is going to be one of the knights that's going to be jousting out there. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to Billy Huckabee about Fort Worth, Texas. And we're going to talk about some more stuff. I'm just going to get this story out of the way right quick because everybody want to know about this story. Movie people watch TV, movies, TV, whatever, Game of Thrones. A lot of uproar has come out recently about the Game of Thrones spinoff. It's going to start filming in October. It's the Game of Thrones spinoff is called The Long Night. It may be called that. It may not. The prequel pilot will start production in Belfast, Northern Ireland, in October after getting the green light from HBO. It's going to start in October. The only thing is, I'm going to be in Ireland in September, so I'm going to be there before the starts. So maybe, I was thinking, hey, I'm going to sneak on over and ride a horse and do something. The spinoff, which is tentatively titled, of course, like I said, The Long Night, will film at the Paint Hall at Titanic Studios. HBO had used a studio before, you know, filming Game of Thrones. You know, Game of Thrones is based on the books from George R. R. Martin. And they returned for the Game of Thrones will return for the eighth and final season on HBO in 2019. And then HBO ordered the pilot for this prequel series in June. The Long Night will take place 10,000 years before the events of Game of Thrones. The screenwriter Jane Goldman penned the pilot script and will serve as the show's runner. And to make sure you guys understand, this is a prequel, not a sequel. So none of the characters or actors from Game of Thrones will appear in this new new series. So don't expect that to happen. But what we do expect to happen is some tunage for you guys. Hollywood Yates, you've heard him on the show before. Bullfighter, he's a muscle builder, a bodybuilder, muscle guy. You remember him back as Wolfman on American Gladiators back in the old days. He's a freestyle bullfighter. He still does he still fights bulls from time to time. He's a clown, barrel man, and entertainer. He's got some great tunes for you guys. We had him on the show back in the old studio. And he's got some good stuff. So what we're going to do, we're going to throw down a tune for him and come back. And I guess when we come back, we're going to have to do some ring-a-ding-ding, I guess. And we're going to have to get a hold of Billy Huckabee and talk about Cowtown, downtown Cowtown, and see what is going on down there. What? What did you say?
There it is.
Can you say that? Can you say that?
You might have to do some modeling.
Oh, I did. Don't worry about that. Who you talking to? It's not that funny. It's not that funny. It's not that funny.
Win the ball. That was your baby.
Oh, he's getting undressed, fellas.
No, well, we're not.
He's getting undressed.
No, I still got my clothes on. What are you talking about? We can't do that.
We'll hold that commentary. We'll hold that.
Can't do that on TV. Now, that's a great video. If you didn't watch that video, it's a great video. Up yours. Hollywood Yates, he's got a great tune out there. He's got another great tune, too. It's not as – that one there is kind of more a feel-good, a lot harder deal. But the next song we're going to play for you guys tonight from Hollywood Yates, it's deep. If you want to get in deep, as they say, as the kids say today on the interweb net, if you want to get deep in your feels, then it's this next song we're going to play for you guys tonight, one of those. If that's what that means. But I don't know. Stuff's going on. Red River Horse Sale, be sure and check it out. Red River Horse Sale, they got a lot of stuff going on out there. They got good sales a couple times a month. Find them on Facebook, look them up, check them out. A lot of stuff's going on there at Red River. So always some good stuff going on. And what I'm going to do right now is I guess we're going to go ahead and do some ring-a-ding-ding and get our first guest out of the way, Billy Huckabee. Let's get him on and talk about Cowtown. All right, we told you a lot of stuff's going on. A lot of stuff in Cowtown. There's always stuff going on over there. But for the month of July, there's a lot more stuff going on. And with that, the man with the plan is going to tell us what's going on, Mr. Billy Huckabee. What's going on in Cowtown?
Well, just like you said, there's something big going on every weekend. But we've got a special weekend coming up the last weekend of July. Of course, that Saturday is the National Day of the American Cowboy. We've got a lot of festivities for that. We've got our Stockyards Championship Rodeo over Friday and Saturday night. But that Friday night, we've got a special rodeo benefiting the Multicultural Hall of Fame here in Fort Worth. And then we've got the National Rodeo Clown Reunion taking place all that weekend in the Fort Worth Stockyards.
And that's gonna be a lot of clowning around right there, because there's a lot of guys. People don't realize how long, you know, the Stockyards has been there forever, it seems like. And the rodeo's been there for, you know, over 100 years. So there's been a lot of clowning going on over there. So you got a lot of guys that's either worked in Fort Worth or just from the area and beyond coming in for this thing.
Well, that's exactly right. But they've done this thing for several years, this National Rodeo Clown Reunion. Last year they had it in Santa Fe. They've had it, I think, in Pendleton, Deadwood, South Dakota. But they told me that they're getting more response and going to have more rodeo clowns showing up this year in the Stockyards than they've ever had before. But one interesting note as far as rodeo clowns, you know, we did have the world's first indoor rodeo back in 1918, and the rodeo clown or bullfighter or barrel man, whatever you want to call him, Jazbo Fulkerson, he was the first clown to use a barrel in the arena, and it was just a 55-gallon drum, basically. And he was from Fort Worth, and he worked in the Stockyards. And you know, we talk a lot about the rodeo first that took place in Cowtown Coliseum, but I wouldn't doubt that maybe the first time they ever used a barrel as far as rodeo clown might have been in Cowtown Coliseum.
And you got to think about that. You got to think to the logic of that. You know, what were they thinking? Just to think, you know what? I got a barrel. Let me just roll this barrel yeah. out here and let this bull hit this just to give me about two more seconds to make an escape.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of those redneck deals. You know, I think, you know, look, everybody watch this. But, yeah, because, you know, now then the barrels are custom made. They've got padding. I mean, they've got handholds. I mean, they're made to, you know, specifications. And you know, back then it was just a 55-gallon drum with, you know, both ends cut out of it. So you can imagine how he got knocked around the first time a bull hit that thing.
And you got to wonder, too, the first time he got in there and got rolled across the ring, I said, you know what? I wonder if I could put some padding in here. Can I stick something in here to keep bouncing my head off the side?
Yeah, well, you know, but that's kind of the whole deal with rodeo clowns. I mean, I've got the ultimate respect for bullfighters and all those guys, but, you know, you got to have a screw loose or two to even think about doing that.
And you do. And, you know, one of the elusive rodeos that I never got the opportunity to work, I worked a lot of, you know, I fought bulls a lot in North Texas, worked a lot of rodeos in North Texas. But the Coliseum is one that I never got the opportunity to do. That it's one of them all that was on the list that I would like to have done that just for the historic factor of being in that arena.
Well, and you know, the Coliseum, that's where they had the world's first indoor rodeo back in 1918. Of course, back then it was the Fort Worth Stock Show or Fat Stock Show, whatever they called it back then. But that's where the Fort Worth Stock Show had its start, was in the stockyards. And it was there through the mid-1940s. And then I think rodeo kind of went away for a period. And you know, they had like wrestling and roller derby and all kinds of different events. And then Steve Murrin, I think in probably the early, mid-70s, early 80s, right in there, they started doing some permit rodeos, and Bernice Johnson put on some rodeos. And then in the mid-1980s, Hub Baker started, you know, we started doing rodeo every Friday and Saturday night. And I've been announcing that rodeo for, I've lost track, 21, 22 years. And there's not a more historic building. There's not another building, another arena where there's been as many bulls bucked, horses bucked, you know, calves roped, spectators. You know, it's amazing.
And something about the Coliseum, we were having a discussion, I guess last week, some guys we were talking about the rodeo and stuff, and I've been, you know, out there to the Coliseum a number of times, out there for different bull rides and different events and things, and we were talking about this, and nobody could remember. Is there a video board in the Coliseum?
There's not now. They, you know, the PBR usually does a special event annually, and then the American has their semifinals there. And so sometimes when they do a special event like that, they'll have a video board. But, you know, the Coliseum is such a up-close and personal venue that you really don't need a video board other than if you just want to see an instant replay, because there's not another place you can get as up-close and see the action as you can inside Cowtown Coliseum.
No, and it's great, and that's why we're talking. You know, we were talking about the other day, and was like, you know, talking about the video and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I don't think there is a video board, but I've never really paid that much attention, because when you're, like you say, when you're in there, you're right there in the action, so you're not staring off into space. You're watching what's going on.
No, and you know, it's funny, because like when we're running, you know, when they're doing the barrel race, and the barrel racers go around barrel one, all the people sitting there in the box seats, they get dirt kicked up in their face, and you know, we've had bull riders thrown over the fence and land in people's laps, and it is, there's not a better venue in the world as far as, you know, really getting up close and seeing what a rodeo is all about.
It's great. I guess last time I was over there, we was over for the Tuff Hederman's event over there, and you know, yep. there's always great stuff going on in stockyards, and what I really like about it is when we go over there, we like to stay in the stockyard. So we'll either stay up there at Miss Molly's, or we'll go to the Stockyard Hotel. We'll go down the street to Stonehouse Hotel and stay. But you can stay right there. You can go watch all the great rodeo action you want to. When the rodeo's over, you can go out. You can go listen to music just about anywhere, have a drink, relax, and just walk wherever you want to go.
Right. Well, in the stockyard jurisdiction, you're going undergo a major, major development. And, you know, where the old Wells Fargo Bank used to be there on Main Street, they've already leveled it, and they're building a big new hotel right there. They're fixing to build a new hotel over kind of where the horse and mule barns are. And then they're going to build a new hotel up where the packing plants used to be up on the hill. And then there's been, you know, two new hotels just open up here in just the last few years. So it's really, I don't know what the numbers are right now. The last time I heard, it's like the number six tourist attraction in the state of Texas. And we get something in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 million visitors a year. And every time I announce the rodeo, I always ask the people, number one, how many have never been to a rodeo? And it's the vast majority. And I ask how many people are from outside the state of Texas, and it's the vast majority. And I ask how many people are from outside the United States, and it's a huge part of the people. And then I ask how many people are from Texas, and we always get a pretty good, you know, we get a good response, but some nights we have more people from outside the United States than we have from Texas at that Stockyards Championship Rodeo.
And people, when people come from out of the country, that's where they want to go. You know, we go to Europe every couple of years, we'll go over there, and we're talking to people and visiting people over there. When they go to America, they either go, it's funny because when they come over from England and stuff like that, they either go, one, to Florida, to Disneyland, or they go to Texas, and they go to Fort Worth, to the stockyards.
Well, they do. And, you know, the cowboy is such a superstar all around the world. I mean, places like Germany and Switzerland, you know, they have camps where they on weekends people go and play rodeo or play cowboy all weekend long. And we have some of those people come to our rodeo. But, you know, and not only the spectators, but also the cowboys. You know, I've had bull riders. Well, just this past Friday and Saturday night, we had four bull riders from Australia. And one of them was the number one ranked PBR bull rider in Australia. But I had bull riders from Guatemala, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. I had a bull rider one time from Japan. I've had bull riders from Sweden and Switzerland and Italy. And a quick funny story about the bull rider from Japan, I was talking to him, and he was a waiter in Japan, and his dream was to be a bull rider. And I do a rodeo report on KTFW Radio 92.1 FM in Fort Worth, and back then we did it live every day. And so I interviewed him, and we were talking to him, and I said, well, how do you learn to ride bulls in Japan? He goes, well, there's a bull riders association in Okinawa. And he said, I save up money and I fly to Okinawa, and on Sundays we have a bull riding. And I said, really? I said, how many bull riders will you have on a Sunday? And he said, oh, we'll have 20 or 25 bull riders. And I said, really? I said, how many bulls do you have? And he said, they have one bull. And so these guys are drawing re-ride 1, re-ride 23, re-ride 25. All these guys are getting on the same bull.
Yeah. Golly. But it's getting, you know, it's getting out there and getting the experience and getting it done. And that's what they want to do. They want to come out here. They want to come to Texas. They want to ride bulls. And if you come to Texas to ride bulls, you have to go to Fort Worth.
We get a lot of them. And, you know, when you think about all the things in rodeo that kind of got its start in Cowtown Coliseum, you know, the TBR in their early stages got their start in Cowtown Coliseum. The Texas Circuit Finals was in Cowtown Coliseum. The Fort Worth Stock Show got its start there. When it comes to rodeo history, I'm going to almost bet you that any cowboy that you can name at some point or another has competed in Cowtown Coliseum for one event or another, whether it's the American semifinals, the Tough Heatman bull riding, you know, the PBR event that we do every year, the Texas Circuit Finals, the Stockyards Championship Rodeo when it was the Fort Worth Stock Show. There's no telling how many cowboys have come through there at one time or another.
Yeah, it just fills up. I mean, there's so much to do in Fort Worth. I mean, if you know when you go down there, you spend 2 or 3 days. You know, you go to the rodeo, you hit the historic part. And what I like to do when I'm down there, and it doesn't matter how many times I go to Fort Worth and I go to the stockyards, I still like walking the old buildings and walking the old brick streets and seeing the old pens and the old hog pens and things. I just like seeing that stuff because the way that the world's going and history and things like that is getting overtaken by, you know, big business. There's not a lot of places like that. You know, you used to drive out through Dallas and you see pasture land all the way to you get somewhere, and now it just looks like it's all, you know, one long city. So Fort Worth is kind of the last place you can go and just absorb all that old West history.
Well, and that's a big concern because, you know, there's about to be and I forget the exact number, but it's something like $150 or $160 million development that's going to take place in the stockyards. And, you know, the diehard stockyards people are real concerned about how do we save, how do we preserve this history. But, you know, up and down Exchange Avenue is a National Historic District, so there's not a lot of redevelopment or changes they can make there. So I think we're going to preserve most of that history, but you've got to think about all the people who have their money invested in the stockyards because, you know, back in the 70s, you know, when I was a kid, and I remember going to our ag teacher took us to the Fort Worth Stock Show, and we went to Cattleman Steakhouse, and in the mid-70s, you know, the stockyards was like one of the roughest, toughest, most desolate places you could go. And luckily there were some people like Steve Murren and Holt Hickman that came in there in the late 70s, the early 80s, and invested their money and refurbished the area and made it what it is today. And, you know, without them, that it would just be another, you know, blighted area that is lost to history. And they've done a great job of preserving it. And hopefully we can do that going forward. But, you know, it's not just rodeo. You know, one of my favorite stories is back in the 1950s, Elvis Presley performed in Cowtown Coliseum. And at that time, the Coliseum was not air-conditioned. And he was there in mid-August. And they sold tickets for $1 a piece. And if you've been to the Coliseum recently, we seat 2,500 people the way it's configured now. And they crammed 7,500 people into the Coliseum, not air-conditioned, mid-August. You know, you can imagine what that was like. But, you know, it's been, you know, the Chicago Opera, you know, the Russian Ballet, Enrico Caruso, Doris Day, Bob Hope, Elvis Presley. You know, the people have been there and the events have taken place in that inside that building. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's almost magical. You know, I think, you know, I've had the opportunity to be involved in it for 20-plus years. And the history, I mean, you can just feel it when you walk into that building.
And there's something to it, and it's something that you've got to go to. And for those of you out there that are coming to Texas and you want to visit and you want to go check out the cowboy way of life and you want to visit history, you've got to go down to Fort Worth, to the stockyards, check it out, spend a day or two, and while you're there, check out a rodeo. And with that, Billy, we're going to let you go and get back to doing what you were doing, but we appreciate you visiting with us and filling us in on the upcoming events there at the stockyards, a little history on the stockyards. And with that, maybe we'll have you on again in the future.
Glad to do it. For all the cowboys out there, I mean, you know, the Stockyards Championship Rodeo, it's an open rodeo every Friday and Saturday night. It's a separate rodeo so they can enter both nights. Saturday's sanctioned, co-sanctioned by the UPRA and the IPRA, but you can still enter as an open contestant. So, you know, if you're just cracking out in rodeo and you want to be part of history, you've got to come to the Coliseum and at least say, I did it. I rode there. I was part of that.
That's it. Say, I was there. Maybe get a picture.
You bet. Come right. See us. If you do, come up and tell me hello.
Thank you. Oh, man. That's some good stuff right there. The Fort Worth Stockyards. That's historic. You got to go. You got to go. And speaking about when you got to go. I don't know. Tex, what do you got over there?
I got to go. I got to go. I got to go right now.
You going to steal some gas or what?
I think I'll steal some gas.
All right.
Or not. Because life is full of lessons.
All right.
Hard lessons. Young lessons we learn the hard way.
You learn them right now, aren't you?
Really hard. Some are relatively easy to learn. But the hard lesson was the case for young thieves who were trying to make a hasty retreat with some gas in Australia. They felt they needed gas enough that they would go to a tour bus in the middle of the night and siphon some out of the tank.
They need gas in that bus right there.
Well, tour bus known to have gas.
Yeah, tour bus got a big tank. So if you want to steal gas, you go siphon out of a tour bus, all right?
But when they started chucking on the siphon hose, they got more than they bargained for.
What?
Yeah.
Who was in there?
Turns out they put a siphon hose in the wrong place. Instead of siphoning gas,
wrong hole.
They siphoned straight out of the chute tank. make sure you know what hole to put the hole or what hole to put it in.
Yeah. Be careful. I'm
going to
put it in the wrong hole.
No, don't. You're going to chiffon gas. Don't chiffon out of the tank. Actually, the police sergeant can infer that they made a very hasty retreat with some bitter taste in their mouth.
I bet they did make a hasty retreat with a bad taste in their mouth.
The police are still trying to pat them down, but they are probably not fined too hard. They already been punished enough.
Yeah, I bet.
They already, yeah.
Oh, man.
More of the story, just don't siphon gas out of a tour bus.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what. If you don't know the configuration of what cap to take off, just don't siphon gas out of a tour bus.
Yeah, don't do that. Mm. Oh, man. Let's see what's going on over here. We're going to talk about heat stress in cattle. It's hot outside, so be careful of the hot. Hot temperatures out there this summer, so be careful. High summer temperatures combined with the high humidity levels can cause significant heat stress to your cattle. Here's a little quick guide with several resources that can help producers through the summer months. So we're going to give you some signals of heat stress. Heavy breathing. If your cattle are breathing heavy, or open mouth breathing, panting, slobbering, stuff like that. Trembling, if they're trembling, or they got loss of coordination. Because if they go down, they most likely won't recover. So if they get to the point where they go down, you're pretty much done. So you got to be careful on that. Now, if you want to prevent your heat stress, be sure you got plenty of water. You want plenty of water in your pasture, whether it's, you know, if you got cows up in a lot or you got cows out in the pasture, make sure you got water, especially when it's hot, because a lot of the smaller pools will dry up. So make sure they got plenty of water and check your water frequently to make sure you got water. Keep an eye on your cows. You know, you should check your cows at least once a day, or twice a week, three times, four times a week. The more times you can check your cows, the better you are. You know, I try to tell people at least check your cows once a day. Some people can't do that. Some people, they're not full-time ranchers. You know, they part-time cow, so they can't check them maybe once a week or twice a week. But when you got the opportunity to check them, you need to check them. Don't add stress to your cows. Don't add stress to them. You know, don't handle them if you don't have to. You know, if you need to transport them, move them, you know, if you need to do stuff like that, do it late at night or early in the morning when it's cooler. You know, and use what they call you know, low stress handling techniques, which means, you know, you don't get out there and run and holler and hot shot and whoop and flag and all that mess. You work your cows easy. You gotta work them easy. Make sure you got plenty of shade for your cows. Make sure you got shade. Always provide shade for your cows. Make sure they got access to pasture with trees. If they don't have trees, make sure they got open buildings they can get into to kind of get some shade. And if you don't have any of that, temporary shade. You know, I've seen some people take some tents and get some, you know, 4x4s and stick them up in the ground, stake them up like a tent, like you're going to a tent church revival, and putting up big tents for them to get up out of the heat. Do that. And always, always have plenty of ventilation. If your cow's going to a barn to eat, or into a barn for anything, make sure you have plenty of ventilation. Always. You always want to do that. It's hot. It's hot outside. It's hot for you. It's hot for me. And speaking of hot, Hollywood Yates is going to tell you a little bit about something that's hot.
Well, my parents got married way too soon. Mama got her first beating on her honeymoon. And Daddy didn't want me, but I was born to a single white trailer in Harold's store. Well, the violence didn't stop just 'cause I was there. He'd punch her and he'd holler and he'd pull her hair, snatch me up from the cradle, even had the nerve to say, look at your mama, see what she same blood in my veins. Just 'cause Daddy was a monster doesn't make me one. It's the things you do, it ain't who you come from.
like father, like son, like hell, like father, like son, like hell.
Oh, man, another good one. Hollywood Yates.
That definitely was a good one.
Oh.
What teeth am I?
That's a good song. That's a good tune right there. Mm-hmm. Great tune. Hollywood Yates, look him up. He's going across the country singing songs, and he's still fighting bulls. He carries a, he packs a barrel now. We talked about a barrel earlier with Billy Huckabee about barrel traveling, but that's some good stuff. What we're going to do right now is we've got next up for you guys. I know you're going to enjoy this. Because rodeo fans, medieval fans, we're going to talk about some jousting. So we're going to bring Rope Myers on here, talk about jousting's going down at Sulphur Springs, Texas, next couple of weeks. Get out there and check it out. So with that, we're going to come back with Rope Myers. All right, we were talking about this earlier, you know, with the Shadow Renaissance Festival going on in Sulphur Springs, Texas. We told you a little bit about what was going on out there and what had happened over the years. And we've got none other than the legendary Rope Myers, world champion steer wrestler. He's been in and out of the rodeo arena his entire life, been there, done that. Had the opportunity a few years back to enter the arena of medieval jousting and did it. And just went after it. So that's what we're going to find out, exactly how that all came about and what is going on in a couple of weeks out in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Rope, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, how, you know, I watched that Full Metal Jousting on TV. When I seen you were on there, I was like, I got to watch this. This is going to be good stuff. So how do you go from wrestling steers to medieval jousting?
Well, that's a funny story. My wife actually signed me up for that, and we were on the way to the junior high finals for my son, and at the junior high rodeo finals in Gallup, New Mexico, and we're going out through there, and she says, I think I'm going to sign you up for this jousting show, and we were just kind of joking about it. Well, lo and behold, the next day or the day after that, they called me on the phone, and we had another interview, and before you know it, I'm on the show, and I guess the rest is history.
Now, you know, in the rodeo, you know, rodeo is tough. You know, rodeo is a rough world. You know, only you got to be tough to rodeo. If you're going to rodeo full time, you're going to make a living at rodeo, and you got to be a tough guy. How does the jousting compare to the rodeo arena?
Well, I mean, it's a different thing, but it's, you know, a guy told me when we first started, we asked someone of the guys on the show asked me, he said, hey, are injuries common in jousting? And he said, no, injuries are actually pretty rare. And we kind of looked at him and he said, now breaks and contusions and bumps and stitches and that kind of stuff, that's common, but injuries are rare.
Well, I'm looking at a shot right here. From back when you got your chin busted open, how'd that happen?
Well, you know, when the show was on, we did an event in Madison, Wisconsin. It was the Armored All-Star Challenges, 8 guys from the show. And we did an actual joust and 2 days of jousting at it. And I won the first day and I came back the second day and I was winning the first match, and then the guy hit me straight in the helmet. When he did, he busted my chin open. But with jousting, you've got to finish. If you don't finish, and I had to finish the rest of those matches that day. I ended up finishing all the rest of the matches that day, ended up winning the competition. But the whole time that my chin was bleeding out on my armor, so it looked kind of medieval by the time we were done.
Well, that's some good stuff. Yeah, you know, you won that deal and the show, and that's what I was wondering, how when you were doing the show and you were doing the jousting, how much training goes into that? Do they really, you know, break it down and train on you you know, kind of not a safe way to do it, but I mean, kind of a way to make less injuries.
Well, you know, our coaches were really good, and they did a good job of getting us prepared in the limited amount of time that they had. The hardest part was that the armor they had for the show was not near as good as like the armor that we did when we went to the, you know, the other jousting competitions. The armor's a lot better because it had some things that they were afraid to not do in the show, just to, you know, to kind of protect them. They had the helmets were connected to the neck, which is not a great design. It's a little safer design, but it's kind of like, you know, when you ride a horse, your head kind of works as that thing that kind of keeps your eyes balanced so that you can see right out the one, you know, in one spot. And when you're when that helmet is connected to the armor, your eyes kind of bounce up and down. So it makes it a little harder to hit the target. And then also on the show, it was a little bit tough just because of the cameras and stuff. Those horses, we would be in the lists getting ready to go down, and those cameras that come over your head, those cameras be whirring over their heads for them to get the shots, and it kind of make most of those horses just about freak out. So it was a lot harder to do that. And in the practice list, we would do way, way better than we actually did on the competition shot. So
now, what about the horses? What can you tell about the horses? You know, from steer wrestling, riding quarter horses, the jousting horses, aren't they like 18, 20 hands tall? I mean, they're giants.
Yeah, they're really big. I mean, maybe not 20 hands tall, but certainly 17, 18 hands tall. And you know, they're mostly Belgians and Frisians and Percherons and, you know, and warm bloods and just big old draft type horses, you know. And they're, you know, it's different. They're really powerful, and they're a little bit harder to handle. But then again, I was in the steer wrestling event, and you know, everybody always asks, why would you jump off the back of a perfectly good horse? And my answer is, if you've ever been on a steer wrestling horse, you know there's nothing perfectly good about them.
Yeah, it's all a go all the time. So what's going on in Silver Spring? So you're going to be out at the Shadow Renaissance Festival. It's going to kick it off, I guess, July 27th. They're going to have the family night from 6 to 10 where they can come out and meet everybody. And then that Saturday the 28th, the fair, I guess, goes from 10 to 9. They're going to have the feast and the jousting that night at 7:30. And the 29th, that Sunday, they're going to have, you know, the second night where they're going to feast a little earlier at 1 and the joust starts at 3. Now, are you competing in this as well?
I am. I don't know why I am, but no, it's for a good cause and for a good benefit. And so, you know, when Shane asked me, I said I would, and it is going to be kind of fun to see some of the guys from the show and reconnect with them. It's been a while since I've seen them. And you know, when you're stuck in there for 38 days, you get to know those guys pretty well. So there's an opportunity for some of us to come together for a good cause. And, you know, and a while back they came and those guys came and helped us with our Cowboys and Cowboys event in Dallas and helped us raise money for scholarships for kids. So I was glad to be able to give back to them.
And it's a great, you know, it's great all the way around. You know what? I've been talking with the guys, you know, putting this thing on here for a couple of months, and it's a great event, and the cause is really good, and I think it's going to be, you know, all around, you know, great event, because it's not something you see every day out here, especially in Texas rodeo. You know, you're a rodeo state. You're not seeing the medieval unless you go, you know, Dallas and watch a show, but. Other than
sure,
that.
And even when they go there and see, you know, this is not what we are not doing what they do at medieval times. I mean, those are balsa lances, and you know, and they're just not the same thing. You know, these are solid wood lances, and when you hit with them, you don't fake fall off the back of your horse.
Yeah.
You get knocked off.
Yeah, I've been to Dallas. I've been to Dallas and watched. I was like, what is this? Am I watching soccer? What's going on here? He didn't even touch you. Why do you fall off your horse? So, but exactly. when I watched this Full Metal Jousting, and I was watching you guys go through there, and I would see that, and you'd see it just splinter. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Those guys are hitting each other.
Yeah, you're reaching out, touching somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you'll feel that in the morning. Well, I guess, Rope, man, we'll let you get back doing what you're doing tonight. And, you know, we'll be out there. The wife's big into medieval stuff. We go to England all the time and go through all the medieval stuff. And we're going to Ireland in a couple of months to do more medieval stuff. So we'll be out there to watch you guys, see what's going on. And, you know, we appreciate what you do, you know, for the rodeo world, in and out of the arena. And, you know, helping these guys out here for the Shadow Renaissance Festival. You know, just keep doing what you do, and we'll see you out there.
Sounds good. We'll look forward to it.
Thank you. All right, Rope Myers right there. That's going to be some good stuff. Man, you got to get out there. If you want to go watch some stuff, you got to go out there to Silver Springs. You know, I'm going out there. Me and the wife's going out, like we said, and we're talking Rope. We're going to go out there and watch it because that's great. We watched the show when it was on, I guess, on History Channel. And I wasn't, you know, I kind of watched a little bit, but when I saw, you know, they said Rope Myers, I was like, wait a minute. I've got to watch this. And those guys, you got to think, you're running 34 mile an hour with that stick. Boy, that's good stuff. They just knock them off, and there was a couple of guys that got messed up pretty good.
So let me know, wife, if you want to go.
Yeah, you got to tell your wife. She got to go, too. Speaking of your wife, and you tell me, what were you got a story about rolling in the hay or baling hay? What?
No, I got a Guinness World Record story.
Record what?
What'd
you break?
This guy, farmer, he wanted to have a record of mowing. So he mows nearly 350 acres.
What?
To get in the record book.
That's a lot of mowing. Why? I don't mind holding records here and there, but that's a lot of record holding.
Well, of course, he didn't do it by himself, though.
Oh, okay.
He teamed with his favorite tractor company to mow nearly 350 acres of alfalfa to break a Guinness World Record.
Tag team it.
Yeah. All right. He was attending the agriculture trade fair in Germany when he learned of a Polish company that set this world record by mowing 243 acres of alfalfa in 8 hours. So he wanted to make 100 acres more.
So he wanted to beat it. All right.
Yeah. And he did beat it.
Eclipse of the Heart Mondays.
What?
I don't know what that was.
What'd you do?
Tate said his property in Greeley didn't have enough alfalfa for the record, so he convinced a neighboring farmer to let him use some of their land. He also contacted the tractor company, who assisted with the planning of the record attempt and employed a surveyor to, you know, check the work. He mowed 348.67 acres, to be exact. An 8-hour time period. The company said it has submitted the required evidence to Guinness and is confident he is the new record holder. So, update to come on that.
Well, he did it. That's a good deal. 350 acres in 8 hours. That's a lot of mowing.
348.67 acres.
348.67 acres?
Yeah.
He mowed
in
8 hours time?
Yeah.
All right. I see old Jason, you got the mid-kiff on there. Mid-kiff, man, you missed. We were talking about Forrest Dockyard a while ago. You missed that on that deal, but we were talking about that. You can catch on to the next one. Let's go. We got some horses.
Horses killed?
Yeah, you got to pay attention when you're out on the highway. I don't know. I guess you don't need to read it. We'll just throw it down and show the folks what happened here. We got a news story.
Yeah.
You always got to pay attention where you're going, what's happening when you're out there. When you're driving or when you're riding horses.
Following a developing story right now out of Southwest Ranches, a dangerous day for an adult and a child out riding horses. It all came to an end when a car slammed right into them, and those two people, they were rushed to the hospital.
The two horses were killed on the spot. Local 10 News reporter Sonella Sabovic is live in Hollywood with an update. Sonella.
Good evening, Nicole and Andrew. Both victims, the youngest only 9 years old, remain here at Memorial Regional Hospital in Hollywood, both in serious condition. Police say the driver that caused this wreck was distracted. An afternoon horseback ride turns deadly in Southwest Ranches. Police say the driver of this mangled pickup truck crashed right into a trainer and a 9-year-old girl as they were riding their horses crossing Griffin Road near Southwest 199th Terrace Sunday afternoon. They say the driver was distracted.
He said that he had dropped his cell phone, was distracted for that brief period of time, and struck the two horses.
Both horses were instantaneously killed. The victims thrown from the animals and immediately rushed to Memorial Regional Hospital in Hollywood.
The young juvenile was transported by air and the adult was transported by ground, both in serious condition. What the investigators are telling me that this young girl was wearing a helmet. It's very possible that helmet saved her life.
A portion of Griffin Road was shut down for nearly 5 hours as traffic homicide detectives investigated. With horse crossing signs all along the road, police issuing a stern warning.
This area of Southwest Ranches and even West Davie is very common for horseback riding, trail riding, especially on the weekends. It doesn't matter what road you're on, you need to be very, aware of your surroundings.
Now, it's too soon to tell if any charges will be filed against this driver. Davie police say this will be a very lengthy investigation. Again, the two victims in serious condition here.
That's tough. You know, you got people out there on, they're on their phone. He dropped his phone. He's looking down to get it, and he ran over two people on horses on the middle of the road.
You might have called him.
Yeah, I dropped my phone, looked down, and I don't know. I don't know the whole story other than that they were riding horses that was apparently – where's the story at? Apparently they were an instructor? I thought it was an instructor. An adult guide and a 9-year-old girl. Yeah, it was a guide. I guess they were doing – the guide was doing lessons. It was like a lessons from a horse farm over there in Florida. And they were out, on the road, and they were crossing the road. I don't know the whole details of it. I'm just trying to figure out was the horse. I don't know. I don't want to speculate of anything. But when you're out there on your horses, you ride down the highway. A lot of folks like to ride down the highway, do trail rides, and go down the highway. Know your surroundings. Know what's around you, and keep an eye out on the traffic because the traffic's not always watching you. Traffic is not paying attention to what you're doing. On that horse. So you've got to be your own eyes and ears out there on the road because just like this guy here, he dropped his phone. I dropped my phone, pick it up. What happened? That's what happened. You got to be careful out there.
Yeah. Stay off your phone.
Yes. Don't text and drive and get off your dang phone unless you're a sheep on the lamb. What do you got about that?
Sheep on the lamb. Video.
All right, what happened?
A Massachusetts Police Department shared a video of an unsuccessful capture attempt on a sheep running loose after escaping from a rodeo.
Rodeo sheep on the loose.
Running after a sheep.
You done that before? You know about
that. Sound familiar?
You know about that, okay.
Mansfield Police Department posted a video on Facebook showing the officer of an animal control officer attempting unsuccessfully to capture the sheep. It was last seen running into a wooded area. You be careful of the woods.
Yeah.
Keep light the
woods. All right.
It escaped Friday from the New England rodeo and has been on the loose ever since. Residents who spot a sheep wandering in the area are being asked to contact the rodeo directly.
All right.
Okay.
I guess they still hadn't found it. Yeah. Apparently they still hadn't found the sheep. They don't know where it's at. It's a sheep on the lamb. So I don't. How do you not catch the sheep? Come on, guys. I mean, I guess this is New England. It's not clam chowder they're going after. So, I guess that could explain something. But yeah, that's good stuff. Sheep on the lamb. Oh, man. What else we got going on? Well, I'm going to tell you about winning calves in the summertime. Let me tell you about that. Winning calves in summer is hot. It's hot out there right now, so I'm going to tell you about winning these calves. All right. Many cow-calf operations with fall-born calves will wean the calves in mid to late June, July. Weaning calves during the hot summer weather is stressful enough for the calves, so they have decided, after doing many, many studies in the ranching world, that fence line weaning should be applied. You know, people talk about, you know, they just load them up and go to another pasture or go here or there or whatever. So somebody decided to do a study, because everybody likes to do studies about study of stuff. So they decided, is it fence line weaning is best, or is complete separation best? So they're trying to figure out what it is. Speaking of complete separation, you've been watching out on the news for a while. So researchers wean calves with only a fence, also known as fence line weaning, separating them from their mothers, compared to calves that were weaned totally separate from their mothers. Calf behaviors were monitored for 5 days following weaning. Fence line calves and cows spend approximately 60 and 40% of their time within 10 feet of the fence on the first 2 days. During the first 3 days, fence line calves bowled and walked less and ate and rested more. But these differences disappeared on the fourth day. All calves managed to stay together on the seventh day of weaning. After 2 weeks, your fence line calves gained 23 pounds more compared to 84 pounds for your separate calves. So your fence line weaning calves are under a little bit less stress because they can still see their mother. They can't suck the tit, but they can still see her. So they're not as freaked out about that, and they'll still, you know, as long as they can see her, they can still eat grass and go on. So if you want to wean your calves, fence line, that's what we do. We fence line wean ours out the place. We've got some lots, and, you know, that butt up to the big pastures, and we'll put the calves in the lot with the water trough where the cows can still come up to the fence and see them, but they can't tear through the fence because it's cattle panel. You know, you can do it in barbed wire too, but every now and then you can have a calf crawl through your barbed wire. And, you know, when you're doing this, it's hot. June, July is hot. Right now it's 100 degrees outside every day, all 24 hours of the day, it seems like. So during the hot summer months, be sure and have adequate water available for your cattle. Be sure and plan ahead before you wean them to make sure you got plenty of water on both sides of the fence. Make sure your cows got water. Make sure your calves got water. Everybody's hydrated. Everybody's happy. And you got, what do you got over there? You got a story about something?
Game of Thrones.
I think we did that already.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. We did Game of Thrones.
You got
to do that. I guess I got one more. Let me throw one more at you. Let's talk about PRCA Rodeo Cowboy Christmas is going down. Estes Park. I was in Estes Park last year up there for the last October. We were at Stanley Hotel in Estes Park for the Halloween celebration out there. Pretty neat stuff. I didn't realize they had a rodeo out there. Big rodeo at Estes Park. Cowboy Christmas is going on. A lot of folks are there right now getting it on. Trevor Brazil has the record for the most money earned during Cowboy Christmas at $39,993 back in 2011. Still setting the record, still holding the record, so that's a good deal. That's a lot of money won in the summer. You know, everybody wants to know about Cowboy Christmas is you know, the July 4th, you know, usually kicks off around the July 4th weekend, right around in there for, I don't know, about a week. They got stuff going on. It's big time rodeo. That's where you're going to make a lot of your money up. I mean, you're rodeo every day. You're at one, two rodeos a day. Right in there getting it on, making that money. Tie-down roper Shane Hanchy, he holds the single event, timed event Cowboy Christmas record at $32,293 back in 2016. You know, Richmond Champion, fan of the show, friend of the show, been on here a time or two. He's earned $27,000 and still going after more money. That's a big check. Sage Kimsey, you know, the reigning three-time world champion. This guy rides bulls, wins everywhere he goes. He's at 29,850, but he's not going to be in Estes Park. So Cowboy Christmas is going on. Keep an eye out on rodeos and bull rides because stuff is it's happening everywhere. Rodeo, it's rodeo time. All the time is rodeo time. What do you got, Texas? Anything going on? Nothing? You got to get home to the wife? Where's that?
Ladonia.
Ladonia. Lay down on you. Ladonia. They got your big rodeo out there, too. You go check it out. Wait, you got what? What are you talking about? Ladonia? You got a rodeo going on Ladonia?
Ladonia Frontier Day. Going to go check out the Ladonia Frontier Day going on in my backyard.
Backyard. Back door. Right in your back door.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Check it out, Ladonia. Ladonia Rodeo at Eastman Arena out there in Ladonia. Check it out. A lot of rodeo action going on. That's where Tex will be. He's checking it out. I'll be checking out some stuff, too. Keep an eye out on our social media to see where we are, what we're doing at Pepper Stewart Show. Pretty much everywhere on all your social media outlets, you can find out stuff. And be sure, drop in pepperstewart.com while you are there. Why not buy a t-shirt and send it to the family members that you don't like?